Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 22. We looked this morning at the Psalm of David, Psalm 40. And David gave testimony of how the Lord had delivered him from a pit with miry clay, similar apparently to one Jeremiah was cast into, one of the worst places on earth you could be. Figuratively speaking, he was. He had enemies, he had troubles, he had iniquity, all things he mentions, people after him, people trying to knock him away from his relationship with God, make him not rejoice, make him not be thankful, make him bitter, all the things that many people have fallen to. Well, here he is. We get this psalm of thanksgiving in chapter 22 of 2 Samuel. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, the God of my strength. In him I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death encompassed me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness canopies around him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyes. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. You will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. And I have destroyed them and wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trod them like dirt in the streets, and I spread them out. You have also delivered me from the strivings of my people. You have kept me as the head of the nations. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. The foreigners submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me, who subdues the people under me, who delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. Let's pray. Lord, it's very plain that David was enamored by your great works. That, Lord, you were to him the great God that you are. That as he trusted in you, you delivered him with a great deliverance. And he rejoiced in that and relayed that to us. And Lord, because of that, because of your deliverance of him, we have again another instance where we can see what you did for him. That we can rejoice with these great attributes that he mentions that he was caught up in thinking about when you delivered him as you did. Lord, make us a thankful people. The lack of thanksgiving, the lack of constant humility, the lack of joy that we have when we do not have a proper focus upon you, when we are not thankful people. Lord, how ungrateful and how ugly that is to see the world have such ingratitude toward you. Lord, how awful a sin that is. So Lord, we thank you for the greatness of your mercies toward us. And Lord, we pray that you would guide our thinking again tonight in the matter of thanksgiving. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we noted here and noted this morning a few things. That David was in a pit. That thanksgiving is something that we give, especially when God has raised us up from a pit, from a deep place, from a very hard situation. We see that here. He just describes it in different other ways in this text. He says it was like death that he was in. And note that at the beginning of the chapter, that there was an occasion attached to this. It was on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And we are aware of the fact that David, for some years, was pursued by Saul, who was a wicked king, who threw away all of his opportunities. And David was a man after God's own heart. And Saul was a man after his own heart. not God's. And so David became king, and David noted through there that the Lord was rewarding David's faithfulness to him, because Saul was removed from being king because of Saul's unfaithfulness, because Saul was not righteous. And the Lord chose David, a man after his own heart. And I mentioned a couple of verses this morning that show the unconditional aspect of thanksgiving. Let me look at these before we get back to 2 Samuel. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, in spite of circumstances, the Christian is to carry on. We're not to be upended by the devil's desires. We're not to be upended by the enemy. We're to gain victory. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. We have great victory. We're seated in the heavenly places in Christ. We're not victorious like the word faith charismatics talk about, how we can just name whatever we want and pick it up, you know. Name your car, be sure to tell God the color and pick it up. That's folly. But we do have victory. We're the children of God. We're to stand fast, be firm, all of those things. So that God's people, really, when we receive a command, God's people never say, well, I can never keep that command. We can say, I can never keep it in my own power. But what God has commanded, by his grace, we can do. And so thanksgiving can be offered to the Lord, even when things are not going well. So verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. The only way you can do that is by faith, which is trust in the Lord. And one of the aspects that we saw this morning in Psalm 40 and also in 2 Samuel 22 is the fact that trusting in the Lord is what we're driven to when we thank the Lord. We're to trust in the Lord. We're to rely upon the Lord. When I was a kid, my mom would say, let's go, we got to go to the doctor. So I would get in and go. She'd say, you got to go, we got to get a shot. So I would go get a shot. You got to take this. My grandmother would have some of the nastiest tasting stuff in the medicine cabinet. You got to take this. We'd take it. Just because they said. And that is trust. Someone tells you, do this and you do that. If you trust them. But we were also told somebody offers you something you don't know, you don't take that. You can't go to the airport now without having a constant announcement. Do not leave any bags unattended. Do not receive things from other passengers. But now from the Lord, we go through a lot. The Lord's will is for us to sometimes suffer sickness and hardship and trials of all kinds. And yet, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's the will of God to give thanks. You probably could say what we're going through is the will of God too. So there is an unconditional thing. It's along with these other things. Pray without ceasing above it. Rejoice always. Verse 16. It's things are going on. Rejoice anyway. Rejoice always. Rejoice because you trust in the Lord. Pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Even when it seems like the prayers are going unanswered, we just keep plowing on. So it's a matter of persistence and perseverance and a drive. Just like we saw in Psalm 40. That no one's going to knock us away from the Lord. Nothing is going to make us be ungrateful and unthankful people. So we stand. I wish more people would have backbone. You know, politicians don't have backbone. But Christians do. There are many people in this world not very courageous, but Christians are. Cowardly are those that spend the eternity in the lake of fire, according to Revelation. So we're to be thankful in everything. And also Philippians chapter 4. verse 6. It's the same unconditional thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing. Unless you really, really have to be, some people think. Be anxious for nothing. See, the anxiety would take you away from the Lord. And hardship naturally would drive you away from something. But in the Lord, we're anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And that flavors the whole thing. When I go out to eat, it's unsweetened tea for me, with sweet and low. And what I do, and I've been told it's too sweet, but all I care about is how it tastes to me. Two sweet and lows and one equal. I would go three. If it's a really big celebration, I might go with three straight sweet and lows. And a glass of tea, you know, like that. And that's sweet. Love that. It flavors it. The tea, unsweetened tea. I went to somebody's house one time. I said, "You got unsweetened tea?" "Yeah." "No sweetener." And that's awful. So you got to have these things flavor. It has to be sweetened up for me. I don't know, maybe you like unsweetened tea, but without any sweetener. But unsweetened tea, throw some sweet and low in there, and it's going. So when you're going through anxiety, of course, the natural thing is think on the things that are making you anxious. And we know where that leads. You follow the anxieties downward. And you talk about a pit. That's a pit we've dug for ourselves. When you trace the anxieties, then you're falling. So be anxious for nothing. That is by faith. We're going to, even though we should, even though there's a reason to, we're not going to be. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, we're asking God, we're beseeching the Lord with thanksgiving for what we're blessed with. That turns us, like the sweet, unsweet tea that's sweetened, it turns it from sour to sweet. Because we are thanking the Lord. We're not doing it, out of, some meaningless form. Try to bribe the Lord. We mean it. We're thankful. There are plenty of things to be thankful for, no matter what you're going through. We all know. Let your requests be made known to God. That saying right there, that we see in Psalm 40, we see in 2 Samuel 22, it talks about the Lord inclining toward us, the Lord hearing us. That's what is there. You make your request known to God. God hears the request. You ask God with thanksgiving. You're not saying, "Lord, it's not right that I'm going through this, so you got to do something about it." You're humble. You beseech the Lord with thanksgiving. You're thankful. You're not ungrateful. And so you make a request made only to God. And there's this promise, the peace of God is given. Now the peace of God is not what is equal to being delivered. The peace of God is while you're not yet delivered. Because it surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense because you're still in the same situation. How can you have peace, the peace of God, if what you're anxious about has not changed? Well, it's a supernatural, it's a blessing from God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The thanksgiving puts a guard up on your heart. The peace does. The thanksgiving means you are content with the Lord. You're content with what God has given you. You're seeking Him for this thing. So you have peace from God, a supernatural manifestation of peace to guard your hearts and minds. Because the heart and the mind are the paths by which we're going to go off the cliff, unless they're guarded. If you break into some place, if you're a criminal, you break in the doors. You try to find a door that's not guarded. Go in there. And if you can get through that, you're inside. So our hearts and our minds, how we feel, how we think, determines what we're going to do. And so many people lay themselves out and they say, oh, this thing's just going to overtake me. And they open their mouth wide and all the difficulties pour in. It weighs them down and they fall into the pit. And instead, we're to fight it off by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. The whole attitude is proper then. And our minds are guarded. Our hearts are guarded. That's where Cain failed. He got offended by the Lord's dealings with his brother, Abel. And so he thought about it. He thought about it a good bit, apparently. And when the Lord spoke to him, he'd already thought about it so much, his countenance was fallen. And the Lord told him how to get it up, and he didn't listen. So he killed his brother. So the Lord tells us here that the peace of God, when we're satisfied, if you're, you know, something's wrong, you're so anxious, you move in all directions, you can't rest. Well, this guards us, guards our hearts and minds, guards the points where we're going to move on, what we're going to think and what we're going to feel in our actions. So those are the commands of being thankful no matter what's going on. Now, that's not a denial of reality. Some would see this as, well, just thank God, even though there's no reason, just thank God. Just do it. Do it because He says so. It's almost begrudging. Okay, thank you. You know, when you're growing up and your mom says, say thank you, and you say thank you, and you don't mean it. You would have said it yourself. And you do the same. You could, you know, tell so-and-so, thank you for that. Thank you. And they've gone, they're not in it. So it's not saying just like positive thinking, just to feel better, think of something better. Just take your mind away to Hawaii and you're on an island and the sun's shining and the waves are breaking and you're relaxing. That's psycho games. You're really thankful. You feast on the truth. And what humans do by nature is forget history. Israel did. When the Lord delivered them here, they went to the next point and they'd already forgotten that. They went across the Red Sea and they were out there wondering how they're going to make it. And they just went through the Red Sea. We're very forgetful that way, willingly forgetful. Any church like ours has been through what this church has been through down the road. We should be more diligent than any church in the whole county. We know what's going on. If you forget history, though, you get things slip through your hands. And it's maddening. I still cannot pull. This makes me mad. I still cannot pull the tray extension out on the copier, the printer at home, without taking the paper out, going over, putting it on my desk, and then walking over and running into that thing whenever I walk by. I did it 3 times yesterday. It is as simple as it can be. I've broken it now. I have to hold it on there and put it. And it sticks out, and it's over there where I walk to my closet. I walk by and run into it. I was really smart last night. I walked around it. Went to the closet and walked right back through it. It's crazy. And we are able to forget even the great things the Lord has done very quickly. When the Bible tells us, love not the world, it means that if we love the world, we're not loving the Father. And it is a quick trip in many lives, and we could name a lot, to where you begin loving the world and then you're gone. Just like stepping on a slick spot on a hill, you're down the hill. And some fall very quickly. So thanksgiving is not making things up. It is grabbing hold of reality. You're holding on to the truth. So back here in 2 Samuel 22, that's what David is doing. He's recounting to the Lord things about the Lord that are true. And in doing that, he's holding on to reality. Notice how he exalts the Lord. The Lord, verse 2, is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my strength. In him I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation. The power of my salvation. My stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. That's a lot he goes into. Why does he go into that? You know, if you memorize something in history class by rote memory, dates, and it makes no difference to us. But when you recount these things and you bring these things up before the Lord, this is basic praise. The Lord is my rock. Change it to, the Lord is my marshmallow. How does it compare? One is soft and pliable and you eat it. The other one is hard and firm and you stand on it and you're on solid ground. My fortress. Compare that, my cardboard box. Cardboard box. You know, there are fortresses that you can assail for months and not break into. And those are made by man. And the Lord being David's fortress means he's not going to be assailed. He's not going to be touched. My deliverer. Deliverer is a practical term. The one who rescues and delivers us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our God takes us from evil and delivers us. The God of my strength, the God of my strength. In other words, he's saying that the things he accomplishes, he's able to accomplish by God. God is able to, we're able to do all things by the strength God gives. In him I will trust. The fact that God is trustworthy means he doesn't lie and he doesn't fail. He is not overwhelmed by any enemy or any foreign power. My shield. A shield is something that blocks the arrows of the enemy from hitting us. We're not able to be struck. They'll fire. All of these things that are mentioned that we willfully thank God, we willfully lay hold of the Lord, we willfully pray, we willfully thank, we willfully focus upon the attributes of God. That's us realizing that God is our shield. We're not going to be overcome by the arrows that are flying against us. Shield was a basic equipment for a soldier. They even had those shields that were as tall as they were. And when the arrows would come, they would stick that thing in the ground and get behind that, and you bounce off of them all day. The horn of my salvation. Who brings salvation? Who's the victor? Who is the power? Who is the strength? The Lord. My stronghold. Again, fortress is similar to that. We might think of stronghold being more offensive. My refuge, that is a place to take a refuge for safety. A place to be secure. Where do we go? Now, David says he went to the Lord. My Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now, he describes it, and I'm not going to go into it in great detail here, but he describes it. When the waves of death encompassed me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid, the sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. Now those two verses, you got four things there. The waves of death, the floods of ungodliness, the sorrows of Sheol, and the snares of death. You talk about the four horses of the apocalypse. That's tough. They encompassed him, made him afraid, surrounded him, and confronted him. This is a personal battle that he has against enemies seeking his ill, seeking his to plunge him into evil. But what did he do? What we've just heard about of the Lord. He called upon the Lord in his distress. And he heard my voice from his temple. And my cry entered his ears. How does the Lord hear that? If you think about the Lord is everywhere. And that's boggling to the mind. The Lord knows everything. That is boggling to our minds. The Lord hears everything. How many things can you hear at one time and process it? Women know that men can do one thing at a time. And women claim to be able to do five or six or seven things. But say you've got five kids and they all talk to you at the same time. A man has no chance at all. The Lord hears the cry of his child wherever they are. And when he does, David describes what happened. The earth shook, verse 8, and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. He made a bow like a rainbow. He makes a bow and he rides down on the bow from heaven. With darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness canopies around him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies from the brightness before him. Coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, And the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. The channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. Like that. You feel that? I'm blasting you with my nostrils. Doesn't do anything, does it? I can't even move the paper on this pulpit with it. The Lord goes, and all that happens. I think it's healthy for us to see the Lord as he is. This is too militaristic for most people. Most Christians today are pansies. They don't have courage. They don't venture much. They don't think very high things about the Lord. They think of God as so feeble. It's not true. Here it says that when David made his cry to the Lord, then it's like it triggered a cataclysmic event. And the Lord was roused. It's figurative to us in the sense that God gets up and moves and does these things. But it's a picturesque, poetical type of description of the power and the anger of God against anything or anyone who puts us in distress sinfully. And he, with power, verse 17, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. That's what happens when we get saved, really. I mean, here is all this anger because of a foe against us, which is a natural thing. Someone is attacking someone we love. We are stirred up and we run and we, in anger, righteous anger, deal with it. Well, in salvation, the Lord moves to save us. He draws us out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, verse 18. From those who hated me. These weren't just casual enemies. They hated David. And they were too strong for him. And that was the situation with Saul and other armies. They were too strong for him. And he cries out to the Lord. And he's saved. And you could go on and on. There's too many verses for me to get them all. But I read the whole thing to you. You see what power and the Lord has, and what a comfort it is. This is real. This is not a movie. You know, in a movie we see someone rescued. At the end of the movie, they're rescued, and it is a very inspiring thing. If I ever hear like certain speeches by Winston Churchill during World War II, it makes you almost want to stand up and go fight in a war that's been over, you know, for 70 years. I've got Ronald Reagan's speech at the Berlin Wall on my computer. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Makes you want to cheer. So the Lord comes in that kind of way. And so thanksgiving is this recounting to the Lord his greatness and power and how he rescues us and brings us to thank him with all of our hearts. It's a long psalm. Anybody have a comment on it before we close? Yes.